I am constructing a spiraling trail of honey across a room that seems to be in the honey house one minute and the next in my bedroom back in Sylvan. I started at a door I've never seen before and ended at the foot of my bed. Then I sit on the mattress and wait. The door opens. In walks my mother. She follows the honey, making twists and turns across the room until she gets to my bed. She's smiling, so pretty. But then I see she's not a normal person. She has roach legs protruding through her clothes, sticking through the cage of her ribs, down her torso, 6 of them, 3 on each side. I couldn't imagine who sat in my head making this stuff up. The air was now dusky rose and cool enough for a sheet. I pulled it around my legs. My stomach felt icky, like I might throw up. If I told you right now that I never wondered about that dream, never closed my eyes and pictured her with roach legs, never wondered why she came to me like that, with her worst nature exposed, I would be up to my old habit of lying. A roach is a creature no one can love, but you cannot kill it. It will go on and on and on. Just try to get rid of it. The next few days I was a case of nerves. I jumped out of my skin if somebody so much as dropped a nickel on the floor. At the dinner table I poked at my food and stared into space like I was in a trance. Sometimes the picture of my mother with roach legs would leap into my head, and I would have to swallow a spoonful of honey for my stomach. I was so antsy I couldn't sit through 5 minutes of American Bandstand on television, when ordinarily I was glued to Dick Clark's every word. I walked around and around the house, pausing here and there to picture my mother in the various rooms. Sitting with her skirt spread over the piano bench, kneeling beside Our Lady, studying the recipe collection that May clipped from magazines and kept taped on the refrigerator. I would stare at these visions with my eyes glazed over, only to look up and see August or June or Rosaline watching me. They clucked their tongues and felt my face for fever. They said, "What's wrong? What's got into you?" I shook my head. "Nothing," I lied. "Nothing." In truth, I felt as if my life was stranded out on the high dive, about to leap into unknown waters. Dangerous waters. I only wanted to postpone the plunge a while, to feel my mother's closeness in the house, to pretend I wasn't afraid of the story that had brought her here, or that she might go and surprise me the way she had in the dream, turning up 6-legged and ugly. I wanted to march up to August and ask why my mother had been here, but fear stopped me. I wanted to know, and I didn't want to know. I was all hung up in limbo. Late Friday afternoon, after we had finished cleaning the last of the supers and storing them away, Zack went out to take a look under the hood of the honey wagon. It was still acting funny and overheating, in spite of Neil having worked on it. I wandered back to my room and sat on my cot. Heat radiated from the window. I considered getting up to turn on the fan, but only sat there staring through the panes at the milky blue sky, a sad, ragged feeling catching hold inside. I could hear music coming from the truck radio, Sam Cooke singing Another Saturday Night, then May calling across the yard to Rosaline, something about getting the sheets off the clothesline. And I was struck all at once how life was out there, going through its regular courses. And I was suspended, waiting, caught in a terrible crevice between living my life and not living it. I couldn't go on biding my time like there was no end of it, no end to this summer. I felt tears spring up. I would have to come clean. Whatever happened, well, it would just happen. I went over to the sink and washed my face. Taking a deep breath, I stuffed my mother's Black Mary picture and her photograph into my pocket and started toward the pink house to find August. I thought we would sit down on the end of her bed or out in the lawn chairs if the mosquitoes weren't bad. I imagine August would say, "What's on your mind, Lily? Are we finally going to have our talk?" I would pull out the wooden picture and tell her every last thing, and then she would explain about my mother. If only that had happened, instead of what did.